Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Woo! The UFC biggest post fight show. I'm trying to get the beat so I can sing.
Yeah.
Fight. Max Holloway, Yair Rodriguez. They fought in the Apex. And what a fight it was. All right, I'm not going to sing any longer. Welcome, everybody, to the UFC Vegas 42 live post-fight show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Hack. He is E. Casey Lydon. And we're going to treat this post-fight show like we treated the people's pre-fight show. We're just going to answer all your questions. Just the two of us and all of you. And we want you to contribute to this entire post-fight show. So questions, comments, thoughts, what you thought of the event, low-key storylines, whatever you want to talk about. Leave them in the comments. We'll throw them up on screen. We will address them. We will leave Leon Edwards out of this conversation because we spoke about him for 20 minutes on the People's Pre-Fight Show.
We'll focus on Carlos.
So what do you got? This time. Yeah. We could talk about Max Holloway's great win. We could talk about Yair Rodriguez's tremendous performance after 25 months away. Herb Dean being just turning into a not-great referee. About Felicia Spencer,
Cynthia Calvillo's corner actually doing the right thing.
Yes, Chaos Williams being Chaos Williams. Yeah. Song Yudong, great win. Joel great Alvarez win. Could be a fun lightweight.
Oh, or 160. Oh my god, the MMA math they were trying to do in that fight was like it was insane.
Andrew Lee, great performance. Sean Woodson, great performance. Courtney Casey, great performance. Rafael Alves, insane performance. Dawun Jung gets it started with the finish. His car was bananas.
Oh, dude, so. Yeah. Jung's knockout was awesome. Oh, my, jeez. Like, that was, how quick was this? This card, because of all the knockouts and finishes, it's had to be one of the quicker cards, for sure. How many fights were on this card? Only 11 fights, which is reasonable. You know, like, so, yeah. Just great job, UFC. This is I love these afternoon cards. The fighters brought it. Lots of finishes. Not the finishes are mean fights great, or decisions mean it's a bad fight, but just, yeah, great fight, great card. Here, you go some questions.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Let's see what we got. Great performance from Felicia Spencer. She looked great. Yeah, she did look great. Unfortunately, she is in a division that doesn't really exist, because now what do you do? Like, I'm not going to take credit for this one because Ariel Helwani in our Slack channel threw it out there. Felicia Spencer, he feels that Felicia Spencer would actually be like a good step up in competition if we're trying to build Kayla Harrison into being what we expect that she could be. A fight with someone like Felicia Spencer would be a suitable step up in competition. Although it doesn't seem like, and I want to get your opinion on this because Dana White just talked about it, Casey. Doesn't seem like Dana White and the UFC are A, interested in bringing Kayla Harrison over at this point in time. B, having this featherweight division exist after December 11th at this point? Is that the vibe you got? Like, Amanda goes out there, beats Juliana Pena. Maybe they try to set up the Shevchenko fight and that's it. Like, are we done with 145, you think?
I think Dana kind of said it. It really depends on what Amanda Nunes wants and how the fight with Pena goes. I mean, I don't know who's asking the question. It might have been, I'm not sure what reporter asked the question, but someone suggested that, are we just going to do away with the belt? And that sounds crazy to say in any other division. And Dana kind of didn't even like go, what? What are you talking about? Get rid of the division. Like, it was so obviously it's out there. I don't understand why Felicia Spencer, why this fight was so high on the card. If there's no, what's the end game for the UFC as far as putting this fight so high on the card? If they're not going to continue to push the 45 division. It was confusing placement in the card. We said before, I thought that it shouldn't have gone to Andre Lee Calvillo, that spot. I thought Andre Lee Calvillo should have been the co-main event, honestly. And yeah, Felicia Spencer, great win for her. Unfortunately for her, she's in a promotion that doesn't care about featherweight. And yeah, that's about it. I have no clues.
Yeah, if I'm Felicia Spencer's people right now, I'm probably trying to set up a meeting with the UFC brass and I'm just like, listen, we all know what's going to happen here. I mean, who knows? If Juliana Pena beats Amanda Nunes, maybe Nunes sticks around, fights at 45. Maybe they just run it back. Who the hell knows? But at this point, if you're Felicia Spencer, you're just like, listen, we all know what's going on. Why don't you just like let me out of my contract and go to PFL, try to win the mill, go to Bellator. Fight Chris Cyborg again. Like, try to do something, because the future of this division in the UFC, and I know we've been saying this for a while, but it seems at this point like there's no effort to bring people in. They're releasing fighters like crazy. There is like a contender, Nomar Dumont, like if you want to throw in for a title fight, sure, but not a lot of people are going to give her much of a chance, obviously. So yeah, it's just the division is just like a slot filler at this point, and it's unfortunate because, you know, these are fighters and they make money and this is what they do for a living, and their careers are in flux being in the UFC right now. So maybe like have an option. Listen, if you want to stay, you can take a chance. It's great. But if you want to go, go. The grass might be greener for you. Go check it out. But yeah, tough spot because there weren't a lot of stakes for her. There's probably more on the line for Leah Lettson. A win for Leah Lettson opens up a little more doors for her because she hasn't fought a lot of these girls. She's been out for so long. And Felicia's fought all of them. Felicia's fought like this whole division. She fought Nunes. She fought Dumont already and lost. Like, what are you going to do? Like, they try to book her against Danielle Wolfe, which is just unbelievably terrible matchmaking. Like, how dare you? Poor Danielle Wolfe. 1-0. Her pro debut was on the Contender Series. I thought she lost that fight.
Yeah, Danielle Wolfe. Yeah, no, that's I forgot about that name. All right. Yeah.
But it was a great performance. She did look very good. And she mauled Leah Lettson. Leah Lettson was mauled. Tough and mauled her. Yeah.
That's the Felicia Spencer I've been kind of expecting for a while, and it showed up tonight. Unfortunately, Felicia Spencer, that is not the Felicia Spencer that will beat Amanda Nunes. That's just the reality. There's just Felicia Spencer is obviously a very talented, very good, very very good featherweight. Unfortunately, the Queen is a great fighter right now at this point in her career. And yeah,
yep.
This is a little
PFL. Maybe PFL reach out to UFC, a little trade ski.
Yeah, trade skis. Yeah, I like that.
A trade ski?
It's a bit of a what if. I don't really like answering what if questions, but F it. Let's do it.
Why not? If they do Holloway Volk 3 and Holloway wins, what's next? Best of 5, 7? Yes, sure. I'll watch these guys fight 7 times. Absolutely. Go back and watch that second fight. The first fight, I thought it was a clear Volkanovski win. Very clear. I've watched it a couple more times since then. The fight at 251 is so undervalued just because of the card. It was the first one back, the names that were on it. That fight, the second fight between Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski, was incredible. Really incredible. Both fighters, the whole thing, start to finish, a really incredible fight. So I would watch those guys fight 7 times. Absolutely.
I'm kind of a big proponent. I know it's just the reality doesn't it won't work in reality how prize fighting is, but when guys are like top five guys, like I always say 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5 because I mean, like, you know, like we watch enough sports. The best teams often lose game one, you know? And yeah, so I think Holloway could just book Holloway Volkanovski 3. Now if Max loses another very close fight, we have a lot of more what ifs. I think Max goes to 55 if that happens, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, but if Holloway wins, like, you could set up like the only best of 7 series in MMA history. Like, who's going to complain about that? Not something you do all the time, but
better
guys. At just 29 years old, what happens to Max at featherweight if you lose the third time to Volk? The guy has options right now. Holloway is a big deal. He's a star. He can go to 55. He would just, like, if he loses to Volk, he's just going to do fun fights. Like, he's just going to do fun, challenging fights. Maybe he fights for the lightweight title at some point. I think his resume, if he moves up, look at Frankie Edgar. Every time Frankie Edgar dropped down a weight class, he basically fought for the title right away.
Two fights.
Yeah.
And I think Max actually moves the needle more than Frankie. So I think there's even a better chance. Sure. And we already have the amazing Dustin Poirier fight, which he lost. But yeah.
Yeah. You could do Holloway Poirier again. You could do Holloway Oliveira again. You could do Holloway McGregor. You could do Holloway Gaethje, Holloway Chandler. I mean, look at all the fight. I mean, if Paul Felder has the itch he needs scratched, you could do Holloway versus Paul Felder. I mean, just think Holloway versus Dan Hooker. Like, all these fights are fun. They're all fun. There is no bad option.
Is Holloway Islam Makhachev a bad option? I don't think it is. I like it because no one has beaten Max Holloway. Yeah, you know, of course he would take it, but no one has beaten Max that way. That Islam, we would think that Islam would have this path to victory. So I love that fight. It's mixed martial arts. That's what we're here for, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he would be happy with that. He's wanted the Khabib fight. He never got it. So this would be like the second best thing.
They were at the freaking press conference. You're right. I forget that. I forget how close we were to that fight. And Max couldn't, because of the short notice and his injury, he couldn't make 155 at the time, which seems, that was a wild time. That was a wild time.
Right.
I'm just, I start going to, like, oh, it just goes on and on and on.
Wow. It's a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Richard Fitzwell, not a chance Yair gets released from the UFC. No.
But you know what? Of course. But the talk going into this fight was a lot like, this certainly is a setup fight for Yair. Yair's going to get his butt kicked and the UFC's going to get rid of him because they don't like him because he didn't take the fight with Zabit. All that kind of... I felt there was a lot of nonsense being thrown out there. A lot of fake drama being thrown out there for why this fight was booked. And, you know, as critical I am of the UFC often, I thought this was always an awesome fight from day one it was booked. I was like, yeah. This is awesome. This isn't a setup fight for Yair to get him out of the UFC. Not at all. So, I didn't understand that. And of course, that performance, Yair's gold. He's gold for a while. Until
the relationship between Yair and the UFC has been a rocky one. So that's why this was something in question, especially the timing of the fight. Because, I mean, if just Holloway taking this fight just seemed kind of weird, like right after the title fight. Like, you were pretty much guaranteed a title shot. So that's just a gangster move by Max. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's a question that needed, like, if Holloway just went out there and 50-43 Yair, we'd be having this conversation right now. Like, we just would be. And it's stupid, but we would be having it.
I think anyone
because of the history.
Yeah. Ariel talks about this a lot. Ariel talks about this a lot. We hear a lot of stuff that we can't talk about publicly because, you know, it's in confidence. And unfortunately for Yair, a lot of his maybe UFC drama kind of became public. But trust me, there's plenty of drama with all these fighters. Unfortunately for Yair, he got more public, and that's all I got to say.
Yeah, he got freaking released. They released him and brought him back.
But don't forget, the UFC also released Cain Velasquez at one point, too. Before he was, I know.
Yeah.
Here we go. I don't agree with this comment, but, you know, he wrote it.
We'll see. CSS 172. Max looks sloppy. Still did enough to win, but Yair impressed me. I don't know if sloppy is the right word. I don't think he started off slow, but this is what we see from Max Holloway. We've seen this many times. Look at the Jose Aldo fights. He got tuned up. in the first round and a half, two rounds of both of those fights, and then he turned it on and beat that ass. But I mean, Max is a slow starter sometimes. He started quick his last couple of fights, like the second Volkanovski fight. Obviously, he started pretty hot in the Cater fight, but this is a different kind of fight, a different kind of style. You don't want to get in there and just start winging shots at Yair because you get knocked out. So Holloway took a little different approach. Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe at times not the most technical Holloway we've seen over the years, but yeah, I think there's a method to his madness, and maybe the sloppiness was part of the game plan. But yeah, I mean, the momentum certainly changed in round two, three, four, and then Yair woke up in the fifth.
And I just don't agree. He looks sloppy. It's like, these are like, they're fighters. It's a fight. I don't know what they were looking for. I'm not sure what sloppy they were looking for.
Especially with what Yair was throwing. He was all over the place. Like, it's hard. You can't prepare for what Yair is going to throw. Eventually you could tell Holloway got the timing down with the punches and the boxing and some of the body kicks and the leg kicks, but It's hard to get that timing at first when Yair's throwing stuff from all different angles and jumping and flying and spinning, and you just never know where things are coming, but he figured it out.
A couple of years ago, I was actually working out in the UFC workout room for a fight week, and Yair Rodriguez came in, and he knew one of the coaches, and he wanted to hit pads with one of the coaches, and he didn't have any gloves, so he asked to use, I just hit pads with an MMA coach, and Yair goes, can I borrow your gloves? I'm like, sure. Yair put the same boxing gloves I had on, and he was almost wearing like cargo shorts, and he just did like 30 flying spin kicks without even warming up. And I was just like, there are levels to this. So many levels. So many levels. Like, and then he handed them back to me. He's like, well, I can't put these gloves on now. These gloves I've just seen taken. I'm insulted to put my hands in these gloves.
That's so funny. That was a great fight, though.
Yes.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Most violent fight night card for the year?
I don't know if
it's up there.
I don't know what the ranking is, but this is just a great card. My memory's not good enough to do all the best cards, but name value and significance. You know, this card can't be fight of the year. Just aren't enough fights of importance. But every fight I felt was entertaining, and you know, it was just a very entertaining card. That's all.
The question wasn't best fight card of the year. It was most violent fight card of the year. There were some nasty finishes on this card.
It was up there.
It's up there. It's in the conversation. We'll have to dig deep on this one.
Yeah. You want to talk about violent finishes that kind of got underrated? Daun Jung. How do you say his name? Daun Jung.
Daun Jung.
Yeah. that knockout over Kennedy actually had it blocked, but the elbows were so hard, even though it blocked, it went through his hands and still concussed Kennedy. That's how hard he was throwing those elbows when he was on the cage. That boggles me. That's scary. You can block a punch or block a strike and it's still like, oh, this sucks. So, yeah, no issue. If you want to call it the most violent card of the year, fight night card of the year, go for it.
Yeah, good win for Jung. Flew under the radar. Enzachuku's tough, man. Like, if you're going to beat that guy, especially right now, one, you just got to beat him now anyways because he's just going to get better and better at this point. And two, as you've seen in his last couple of UFC fights, Enzachuku gets better as the fight goes. Like, third round Enzachuku is, like, right up there with third round Derek Lewis. And second round Derek Lewis. Fifth round Robbie Lawler. So, yeah, if you're going to get him out, you got to get him out of there early. And great performance. Good way to start the card. Rafael Alves, great performance against Mark Jacasey. That big left hand, the flying knee, the nasty guillotine, and then he's hoisting up everybody. He's hoisting up doctors and Michael Bisping. I mean, what a day. What a day.
Who was the fight? Maybe it was Josh Thompson that he got a big knockout and he picked up Joe Silva in the cage. I remember one time I can't remember who it was, but it was someone. You can tell Joe Silva's like, I do not like being this high.
Yes. It was great. Really good card. Really good card. Good follow-up. I need a Yair versus Giga kicks only fight. Whoa. Jed Meshew.
But good fight, Circus.
Jed Meshew could like this comment 14 times he would. But yeah, I would say Yair could be in line for whoever wins that fight.
Would you say
between Cater and Giga?
I would think with Yair's performance tonight, things have to go right in a certain way with title matchups, but do you think Yair is one big win away with the right opponent from an actual title shot, considering how close this fight was?
I think things would have to play out the right way. Like, I think Ige would have to beat Emmett. I would think Cater would have to beat Chikadze. And then, yeah, maybe. I mean, if Giga wins and they set him up with the... I think if Giga beats Cater, he's probably the next guy after Holloway at this point.
If Giga
with the way he's been rolling, if Giga beats Cater, he's very close. He's probably getting the winner. I mean, unless they do the best of seven, then Giga's gonna have to wait. But I mean, things are gonna have to play out in Yair's favor. Like, certain guys are gonna have to win. He's gonna have to get lucky. Things are just gonna have to fall in sort of the right place. But I could see Yair after that performance fighting the winner of that fight, and I wouldn't say he might be two wins away from getting back there. Sure.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know what? Yair Ortega, but a lot of people want Yair Ortega. I'm seeing a lot of Yair Ortega.
Yeah, that's fun, man.
That is fun.
It's a fun fight. But Ortega, I mean, listen, Ortega took a beating in that fight. I mean, both guys took a beating in that fight. Could be a while before we see Ortega.
Yeah. Real quick, we didn't really talk about this, but how did you score the main event?
48-47 for Holloway.
What rounds, though? Because that's why I've seen different things with the rounds, though.
2-3-4 for Holloway, 1-5 for Yair. I thought Yair won the first. Holloway was very close to getting a 10-8 in the second, I believe.
You think so?
It was close.
I had the second round for Yair.
I think it was the third. I don't know.
It was the third round. No problem. I got you.
Holloway won the second. I thought Holloway won the second. Momentum was changing. Mm-hmm. It was 19-19. Third round was very close to being a 10-8 because Holloway had him in big trouble, dominant. Yair got up, turned it around, landed some big shots, brought it back to a 10-9.
Yeah.
Holloway clearly won round four. And then Yair came out guns blazing in round five and won that round. So, 48-47. For me.
Can you pull an official scorecard up? Because to me, it seems like what I agree with Bisping said, it seems like rounds 2 and 5 were the swing rounds in the sense that it can gone both ways. Maybe I was just kind of got too caught up in the fight, but I thought Holloway won the fifth round, but I really could be wrong. And like, at that point I was just kind of watching as a fan, to be honest. I had it tied going 2-2 into the fifth round. So I'm just kind of curious.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
I had rounds 1 and 2 for Yair and rounds 3 and 4 for Max. I think 3 and 4 are very obviously Max rounds. I feel most people had round one for Yair, and I don't know, maybe two, maybe I was just I was emotional during 2 and 5. I'm not sure.
All right, let me pull up the card here. That is the first fight. Hold on, let me scroll down all the way down. All right, Derek Cleary gave, which was the complete opposite for me. Gave Holloway round one, Yair round two.
What? Holloway, gave Holloway? Three. Okay, wow. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go. I'm sorry.
Holloway
sorry,
three, sorry. Holloway four, Rodriguez five. Sal D'Amato had Max Holloway up 4-0 heading into the fifth. And Yair won round five. So that was the 49-46. And then Ron McCarthy scored it the exact way I scored it. Yair round one, Holloway 2, 3, and 4, Yair round five.
So everyone scored round five for Yair, correct?
Everyone scored round five for Yair, yep.
That's wild.
One judge scored, gave the first round to Yair. One judge gave Yair round two.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yep.
That's wild. Yeah. So there were no identical scorecards on all three judges.
No.
Interesting.
It's very rare that we even see that at this point.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild. But yeah, Ron McCarthy, I scored it the exact same way he did. But yeah, so good. So good.
Like, you know what? Like sometimes I don't know, maybe it's just me, but like going into the fifth round, I had a hard time giving the Yair because I just knew Max was such a heavy favorite, and everyone kind of told me coming to this fight, oh, this fight's going to be a blowout. So the fact that round five was even close, I see that almost everyone had it for Yair. I gave it to Holloway, but that's wild. So round two was, that seems to be if one more judge or round two, it seems like that was the big round. That was a big difference maker.
Yair just had a great game plan in round one. Yeah. He beat up the legs, beat up the body. I mean, Holloway's ribs were like swollen. Ooh. Like it looked like there was an alien trying to jump out of his stomach at one point. Like Yair lit up his body pretty good, and Holloway fought through it, dude. But those are just two tough SOBs.
Yeah,
so like obviously a lot that of people, fight got yeah. the fight of the night.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people had 1 and 5 for Yair. And then, but the judges had two round two for Yair, which would mean that, you know, if the right judges or the right whatever, like Yair wins this fight, depending, you know, how you look at, I mean, just with a different set of eyes. I just think it's that close.
If Ron McCarthy scored round two for Yair, he would have won the fight. Oh, no. You know what I mean. It would have been a split decision.
But,
because you can't give him three or four. For Holloway was interesting.
3 and 4 were the most dominant rounds. Also a very interesting part of this fight. You know, we went into it going, who's the better boxer? Yair seemed to win this fight actually on the ground. With the takedowns, with the cage control. That 10-8, almost 10-8 round was based on, you know, his dominant positions on the ground. It wasn't because Yair was getting necessarily beat up on the feet. Sorry, am I mixing names up? Sorry. We have all these kind of, you know, ideas how the fight's going to go in our head, and then, you know, it's so cool when it doesn't go that way, but makes sense, you know, how it works out. And from judging, what did they say, Yair broke his foot pretty badly?
It looked nasty. It was like a balloon.
Yeah. God, that's when you throw that many calf kicks, that many leg kicks, that's always the big risk. You're going to break your foot. You'll hurt something in your legs. So remember, I think Fitzgerald mentioned, it seems like Yair is abandoning the leg kicks. Well, now we may know why. His foot was really messed up. And that's the fight game, man. Bones break, and you just got to, you just hope. And guys like Max, his bones don't seem to break. They're just made, he's made of something different. Yeah.
For sure. So that was obviously the fight of the night. If you missed it, the performance of the night bonuses went to Chaos Williams and Andrea Lee after their tremendous performances. But I mean, there could have been so many people. Many people deserve bonuses. So hopefully they get taken care of a little bit.
I hope so. You know what? Let's just get this out of the way. I've seen a bunch of variations of this question. Let's get this out of the way.
What did you make of the Herb Dean hesitation? Unfortunately, It's just tough, man. Like, you got to make these decisions. Now, was he, I'm trying to think who the referee was. Who was the referee in the Tanner Boser OSP fight? Remember there was like something fishy going on there? That wasn't Herb Dean, was it?
I bet it was. OSP, let me see. Who was the ref? Does it tell you who the ref is? I'm looking at the fight on Tapology, but I don't see where it says the ref.
All right, hold on. All right, let me see. Oh, no, it was Jason Herzog.
Oh, Herzog.
Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to, like, Herb's had a tough year. He's had a tough year. 2 years ago, and even, like, a big chunk of last year, I think. I mean, this was the gold standard of refs. This was, oh, good, Herb Dean's reffing. Like, no worries here. And then it seemed like right after the Dan Hardy situation, I mean, my God, as soon as, like, right from there, Dan Hardy called it to our attention. And then it's just gotten, I'm not going to say worse, but just not better. Just bad. It was just bad.
Herb Dean almost started the fight, and Bisping's like, bro, your credential's still out. Your credential's on. He is just hanging on. I was like, oh, geez, Herb. He's like,
like, what are you doing? And I just feel like, what the hell is Herb Dean doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, this is the time, like, come out and speak about it. Like, this tweet something, anything. Just be like, dude, I made a mistake.
Which is
I wasn't fine. Sure what was happening. It happened quick. Like, that's fine. Like, we'd be like, cool, dude. Well said. Appreciate you.
Like, the best Jason Herzog, this might have been the fight I was thinking of because we probably talked about it. Jason Herzog, in my mind, is the best ref in MMA, and he effed up, which is fine. It happens. No ref is going to bat 1,000. We would love him to, but they're not going to bat 1,000. Herb Dean seems to be really. It was a horrible stoppage. I'm not sorry. It was a horrible. I don't know what it's like stoppage. I guess I'll call it. De Lima did a great job. I don't know. I don't know what that was. It should have been a knockout. It was weird. I don't know what that was. That was just, he looked like he wanted to stop the fight, but then it looked like they were swinging hard. He didn't want to get in there. I was like, but as your job as a referee, that's what you do. When you want to stop the fight, you jump in there. You sacrifice your body. You do like the whole secret, you know, just jump in there. You stop the fight. That's what your job is. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't like Ben Rothwell. I don't know. It's just, Rothwell, he went for the takedown afterward, but you were already kind of told De Lima fight's over. So, yeah, it was weird.
You know what it reminded me of? Like,
Sorry. He was the ref for the...
Jibas Rodriguez, that's what
I think that's yes. What we're thinking of, the Jibas Rodriguez.
Very guy. Similar, yes.
Thank you, Scott.
Very
Thank
similar. You. What it reminded me of was like, because I have three brothers and we all at times beat the hell out of each other and had wars and just started wrestling around and getting in fights. But like the way like the fighters looked at Herb Dean in that situation, it was like if me and my brother were like fighting and then like my mom came up and like opened the door and like we just kind of looked at her like, huh? Like that's how the fighters both looked at Herb Dean in that situation. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can't say stop. And then be like, you know what? Keep going. Like, that's exactly what happened. Like, whatever, Herb. Like, you made a mistake. Like, come out and address it, and it's over. We won't talk about it anymore. Yeah. I would like judges and referees to be more open and honest about stuff. Mark Goddard, very open and honest. I appreciate what that man does. He's come out and interviews about stuff, goes on Twitter and explains stuff. Mm-hmm. If he makes a mistake, he admits it. If he didn't make a mistake, he explains why he didn't feel he made a mistake. Like, I like that. I wish all officials would do that.
It just calls just accountability. Every single person is accountable for their actions, except for the people who seem to have the most accountability, the most important part, accountability. They, for some reason, we don't get to talk to them. And that's strictly a production thing, or it's an MMA thing. Because if you watch enough boxing events, after every weird stoppage or whatever, they always either talk to the commission guy or they talk to the ref. And if the ref doesn't want to talk, they'll go on air and say, you know what? We want to talk to the ref. The ref declined an interview with us. He didn't want to talk about it. But at least they put it out there that we tried. I've never heard that. Watching Bellator, watching watching UFC, bunch of PFL. I've never heard the broadcast team. Let's interview that ref. And oh, they don't want to talk. I've never heard that. It's just, I think it's happened once or twice. Maybe the Musasi Weidman, didn't they kind of talk to the, remember they had the weird instant review?
Was the commission interviewed? Did an interview? Maybe Bradner did.
Like during the fight card. Yeah. Very few times was the commission speak publicly about these things, which I think it's just BS. I don't get it. Do not get
it. Yeah. It's funny because I feel like last year, I thought Chris Dione last year had one of the worst years in refereeing history. He was just so bad and so consistent from a week to week basis. I felt like this year, like he's been better, but then once in a while, like revert back to the old Chris Dione. Like, how many warnings are you going to give fighters? Like, how many times are you going to allow a fighter to drill somebody in the guys?
Yeah.
Like, with hard shots. Like, you stop the action once, it happens. But after the first one, like, you got to start taking points. Like, accidental or not, you got to start taking points. That's how they stop. That's how we no longer allow these things to happen. Eye pokes, etc. If it happens once, cool, accident. If it happens again, take a point. No apps. Oh, no, this is your last warning. No. This is really your last warning. No, the third one. This is your last warning.
It's like, and Bisping, this is my go-to Bisping. Oh, that was accidental. It's like, well, they're all accidental. And it's like, we've never seen a fighter just come out there and like, like, we haven't seen that yet, you know, just like straight up, I'm just going to kick you in the nuts. You don't know Bisping. He's like, it's accidental. It's like, it doesn't matter if it's accidental. It's like, it's reckless. That's the word we're looking for. I'm a big proponent of half points deductions because it's official. It stops the fight. It reprimands him. But I think there were two eye pokes in the main event, you know, and both they were obviously accidental. And a lot of people are like, they want automatic point deductions. But did they think that in the main event that Yair and Holloway shouldn't have got automatic point deductions for their eye pokes? I don't think either of them deserved automatic point deductions. So it's especially Holloway's
because it was a closed fist. There's just the thumb, edge of the thumb went in his eye.
But if your thumb, but that's an eye poke. If you got a thumbs in, you know, it's just, I get it. I mean, I get why they didn't.
Not one of these.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that. But,
yeah. and Bobby Boucher in the water.
And there's only one defense for that.
Three Stooges style.
Yeah, Three Stooges style.
What else we got? Yeah. Herb Dean, not a good showing. And I think he got off easy in the Dana White department. By the way, I think the tweet of the night was someone because of Dana's coat. Someone posted a picture of Teddy KGB from the movie Rounders and called him Dana KGB. I thought that was awesome. By the way,
I saw one tweet. It said right now Dan Hardy is in the Apex parking lot just shaking his fist. Told you, I told you.
Oh yeah, he sent out some tweets right after.
Dan Hardy, man. Love it. It's going to be a simple yes or no. I'm going to go. No.
Sure.
Sure.
At heavyweight, anything's possible. So I'll say sure, but not likely.
I'm going to go no. I was shocked that he was so high on the card anyway. What else we got here?
Uh-oh. Jed Meshew should be on every show. So Jed's a busy man. Georgia football's playing. He's got other things to do. Jed will be on Between the Links this week. His opening round matchup is Thursday. So be prepared for that. Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel, live third opening round matchup. And then the week after that, it's not official, but we'll probably roll the Tuesday after that because can't do a show on Thanksgiving. You can't do a show on Thanksgiving. What else you got? Anything else?
A bit of a troll comment.
Awestruck audio hurts. This dude with the glasses, no credibility. Half the stuff he says is just wrong, combined with the fact he has no martial arts, just makes it look like a creature catcher.
Okay, first of all, half the stuff is wrong, but that means half the stuff I say is right. So you're a glass half empty. I'm glass half full. Half the stuff I say is right. So I appreciate the compliment.
In case he does know martial arts, he's been covering the sport for a really long time.
Dude, those are my favorite comments. It's like, what are you? Are you new to this? I'm like, okay, yeah.
I mean, he's
yeah.
There's a what's her name? Gina, who's has a podcast with like Mike from OTV and stuff. And you know, what I like about Gina is she's a fan, but like if she has questions, she'll be like, "Excuse my ignorance. What is this?"
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
the Invicta question. Like who? You know, I'm not that familiar with Invicta. Like who are some of the fighters came from Invicta? And Casey literally ran off like every fighter ever that competed in the Invicta cage. And it was just amazing. And you probably did that in like 2 minutes.
Because you
were there for like all the events.
Yeah. And I appreciated her approach to it. She was just like, I'm a little ignorant to it. So if you can help me out, I was like, yeah. It's like, why would you know all of this? There's like such a long history. Like I wasn't there for UFC 3 or, you know, everyone claims I was at UFC 1. I watched UFC 1. It's like, oh, yeah, UFC 1 apparently was the most watched card ever, according to MMA fans. But no, I didn't watch UFC 1. I had no idea. My first pay-per-view I ever bought was UFC, whatever the GSP, when GSP got knocked out by Sarah. That was actually my first UFC pay-per-view I actually sat down and watched. After that, I was like, I should pay attention to this sport. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, there's people on Twitter trying to defend Herb Dean. Come on, those are 300-pound guys that Ben was half unconscious trying to go for a takedown at the same time Herb tried to grab De Lima. I don't know how he could have done it differently other than literally double-legging De Lima. Well, there you go.
That's literally what you do. You can't go.
We've seen referees choke, like literally have to put fighters in rear naked chokes to like get them off, like because they won't stop. John McCarthy used to rip dudes off all the time.
That's
like,
what you're supposed to do.
Herb Dean was a fighter himself.
Yeah.
Herb Dean has had professional fights.
That's what you do. Like, that's what you do. I mean, you actually in boxing, you see boxing refs get punched all the time because once they're throwing combinations, the bell rings and they have to break it up. And so a lot of times the punches keep coming, they get hit and everything. That is part of the job. I'm sorry. How about this?
Should Cynthia go back to 115 if she could do it healthy? This is a tough one, man. I don't know. I mean, if she can, but I don't know if she can.
I think...
I don't know.
I would say no, and we just need... Maybe Calvillo and us as fans have to accept that Cynthia just may not be a top five or even a borderline... And she's not. Maybe she's not even a top 10 featherweight. I'm sorry, not featherweight, flyweight. And that's fine. There's lots of, you know, fights to make and everything. I just don't, maybe she's just not going to hit that potential that we kind of thought that she was going to get after she beat Jessica Ai. I think Jessica Ai is kind of her, is that her big flyweight win?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That was her debut, I believe.
That was her debut in a main event that a lot of people complained about, but no, Cynthia won. Yeah, I guess maybe Cynthia's just not the level, maybe we just need to give more credit to Andrea Lee. She's from Invicta. I remember there was a handful of fighters when I saw Invicta that I was like, after watching them fight, after they handled themselves, I'm like, ooh, this girl's gonna be a star. When I first saw Rose Namajunas, I was like, ooh, this girl's gonna be a star. Actually, when I first saw Miranda Maverick, I was like, ooh, this girl's gonna be a star. Alexa Grasso, you know, people like that. When I first saw Andrea Lee, I was like, she's gonna be good. And then, you know, she lost some fights. She got ground. Like, I think Roxy beat her in Invicta. But maybe she just hasn't – Andrea Lee just hasn't reached her potential. And now this is the best Andrea Lee we got. And this is two amazing performances from her. And who knows? Maybe Andrea Lee, you know, two more fights away. She's going to be fighting Valentina. We don't know. But just give a little more credit to Andrea Lee. That's all I'm trying to say. And maybe Kavi
Yeah, a couple things I want to add to that. One, I don't think it has a lot to do with the weight class. A lot of it is just the approach of the fight. Like, Cynthia is a wrestler and really good on the ground, but yet the last three fights, like I know Jessica Andrade, and when she hits you, it changes lives. Mm-hmm. But the Chikagian fight, she didn't go for any takedowns, or very few that I recall. Mm-hmm. This fight, no takedown attempts until like late in the second round when she was getting battered.
After she started beat up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you in there, like, trying to box these girls and trying to kickbox these girls? Like, that you're playing right into Andrew's hands. And to add to your point about Andrea Lee, she is in a great place right now. She hasn't been in a great place in a long time, dealing with everything she's had to deal with the ex-husband, trying to get a divorce, custody battles, all that stuff. She dealt with that for years.
She's a mother of two. You know, I mean, I understand. She probably has so much drama outside of her life that fighting in a case, her the fact that she can show up at her best for one night, you know, a couple nights a year is just an amazing feat in itself, you know, so. I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a lot going on in Andrea Lee's life.
Yeah, she's put all that behind her. I mean, she probably still has to deal with it a little bit, but most of that's behind her. She's with Tony Kelly now. She's in a good place with him. Like, she's just in a good place. And sometimes, you know, you just need that. Like, you could be great in the gym, but sometimes you need, like, everything else outside of fighting and outside of the gym to prepare you mentally. And here we go. Andrea was competitive in all these fights despite all of that stuff going on. She was winning fights with all that stuff going on. She was a win away from fighting for the title with all that stuff going on. And now she's free. You know, she could start thinking about the belt. She doesn't feel the pressure of it because of everything else going on in her life. She's in a really good spot right now. And she is a dog. Her last two performances have been huge. She's living up to her potential for sure.
Yeah.
She's good.
We've seen a few questions about this. So I want to just, I don't really know the answer, but yeah.
What's going on with Zabit? Can you guys ask Ali or Mark Henry about that, please? Believe me, we have. I mean, if you just watch the press conference, everybody will give you the same answer. Okay. Ali's done interviews about this. Mark Henry's been asked about it. His teammates have been asked about it. It's all the same. Like, nobody knows. Like, literally nobody knows. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. When Zabit's dealing with some health issues, I know there's some rumors circulating that his career might be over. Nobody knows anything. Yeah. Nobody.
The one thing I do know about Zabit, he is still involved in MMA. His younger brother fought in Bellator a couple months ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. His younger brother had a great win in Bellator. I think he's undefeated. Zabit was there with Habib. Yep. And you know, we were like, hey, Zabit, you want to talk? And he was like, he politely declined and everything. But he said he is involved. But his brother said, you know, he's involved in the training camp and things like that. So he's not like... He's not out of the game completely, but as far as being a competitive fighter, that's a mystery right now. Only he didn't feel like talking about it, and no one around him was speaking for him. Rather, you know,
maybe just it's not there. Maybe just the passion's not there. He'd rather help his brother right now. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I'd like be a great guy to have back in this division. That's for sure.
Yeah, selfishly, I would love to beat back, but like you know what. If prize fighting and the fame and you know all of this, if that's not what you want, maybe then it's just I just like doing martial arts. You know, that's a lot of people. You know,
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Okay.
It's a lot of talent, though.
Yeah.
Who should Ben Rothwell fight next? Do you guys think he should call it a career? I mean, that's not our decision to make, but. I don't know.
He's 40 years old. Yeah, he's 40 years old. He's just hitting his heavyweight prime. He had a bad night. That's all. Anyway, I mean,
fights.
Fun fights. He lost tonight. But you know what? If on the right night, that fight still might be going on. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know. So Ben Rothwell. He wasn't knocked out cold. He got hit hard. And I think he'll be back. Is Ben Rothwell going to fight for the belt? No. Is he a top 10 fighter still? No. But I think we'll still see him on these fight night cards. I think Ben Rothwell is the great guy to kind of, he's that vet. When you do vets versus prospects, he's the vet. Whoever those young up and coming heavyweights are, these are the guys you put him against. Ben Rothwell's, you know, gatekeeper. Like he's like a top 15, top 20 gatekeeper right now. Yeah. Just keep him around. He's a great personality. Legend's the wrong word, but he's been around for a while, and I think he deserves that. I hope the UFC lets him stay around and lets him can fight as long as he wants to. He feels safe.
All right. Take one more. What do we got? Maybe more, two. Depends what we got.
All right. Let me find some good ones.
Uh-oh.
Let me go back to my little collection of them. Herb Dean, we did all the Herb Dean stuff. We did KGB stuff. Did Zabit stuff.
Then we got a card. And then we got next week's card, Misha Tate versus Ketlin Vieta, and then a rare weekend off for UFC action. But then, but if you're hankering, if you're in need, we got that Triller Triad combat card on the 27th. So with Mike Perry and Frank Mir and Albert Tumanoff. And
I saw a thing in Triller is hosting something, a fight between 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs and Harmony. I don't know what that is.
But it's not a fight.
It's not, they're not like going to fight.
It's a freestyle battle.
Oh, they should fight.
Yeah, versus freestyle battle. What do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to have a 10-man tag MMA fight?
Is that out of the question?
I mean, listen, anything's possible. How old are these guys now? They got to be in their they're in their 50s now?
Yeah, I'm sure they are in their 50s, actually.
I was a big Bone Thugs guy growing up, for sure.
Yeah.
He's 1999 Eternal was one of like the first CDs I ever bought. That it?
I think we're good.
All right. I think we've maximized this car. And don't worry, we'll talk more about it. We got BTL, MMA Hour, all sorts of fun stuff. Fighter versus writer. Everything. We got next. Sky's the limit, ladies and gentlemen.
We have a little podcast on Monday and Wednesdays called the MMA Hour with some Arrow Hawani.
You know,
yeah.
Parentheses S.
Yeah.
Several hours.
Several hours. Yeah. So I mean, we got lots of stuff. Lots to talk about.
We might see Max Holloway. Who knows? I don't know what the lineup's going to be, but if it's Ariel, it's going to be big. So get ready for that. We got some interviews coming up. Rob Font's getting ready to main event. I spoke with him last week. And I got to say, I've interviewed Rob Font many times. This is maybe the best Rob Font interview I've ever done out of like probably 25 or 30. A lot discussed. Has a lot of opinions on Sterling and Jan and Dillashaw and all sorts of craziness. So look for that interview this week. And Adrian Yanez will be on We Got Next this week. So stay tuned for that. Lupi Godinez fighting again next week. She is such an animal. She'll be on We Got Next as well.
I love that fight, but I hate it because I enjoy both those women. I can't believe one has to lose, but all right.
I know. But now we're not going to lose any more sleep. You can go to sleep if you want. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G Podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.